In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. Massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view. The continents show the speckled, electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and a massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company.
Hazy circles of light overlap, their colors and sizes varied. Words appear. Focus Features, a Comcast company. The O in focus is blurred. Chalk lines graph a corona of light. It forms an interlocked set of three-dimensional rotating rings. Working title. Focus Features presents a Working Title production. Nighttime. A neon sign outside a bar reads, Cicero's Drinks and Supper. Inside, two men sit at the otherwise empty bar. Text appears, Philadelphia, 1999. A suave-looking man sits alone in a booth and clutches a silver briefcase to his chest. He leans out of the booth and peers toward the door with a nervous expression. Sitting back in his seat, he checks his watch. It reads 12:20. A waiter approaches him, and he startles. The waiter eyes his empty wine glass.
Another glass of...
The waiter cocks his brow.
Rosé?
No. The hour's long past. Check.
The waiter stares at him, and the suave man makes a writing motion.
Check!
Outside, the suave man anxiously strokes the briefcase as he walks alone. The waiter comes out of Cicero's, and the suave man notices him following him. The suave man shrugs his coat off his shoulders and breaks into a run. He darts into an alley and comes to a dead end. Grabbing a trash can lid, he holds it out like a shield. The waiter catches up and beckons him.
The case, Santos.
My case. Stand back. Do not advance.
The case, Santos.
Halt! Evildoer.
The case, Santos.
Not on your life. Waiter.
The waiter throws the trash can lid aside. He takes out a waiter's corkscrew as a car pulls up. A man gets out of the sedan, and the waiter stabs Santos in the throat with the corkscrew. Santos grips the corkscrew and tries to twist it out of his neck. The waiter stabs him on the other side of his throat with a ballpoint pen. The slender man from the car approaches, and the waiter gives him the briefcase. The slender man gives the briefcase to a passenger in the car. The waiter grabs Santos's face and digs his thumbs into his eye sockets. The passenger hands the slender man a hacksaw, and the sedan drives away. Lifting the hacksaw aloft, the slender man dashes back into the alley. He disappears into the shadows, and our view rises to the statue of William Penn outside Independence Hall. In a bedroom, a naked young woman arches her back in pleasure. A brunette buries her face between the woman's thighs.
Oh, Jamie!
Neither Suki nor Jamie are here right now. Leave a message. Hey, Jamie. Are you there? Just wondering, are you and Suki going to shot night tonight? I don't want to be stuck there not knowing anyone. Maybe Carla's going. Do you know if Carla's going?
Are you going?
Anyway, call me if you would.
Come back to Mama.
Hope you and Suki are doing well. Miss you, friend. It's Marion.
In an office, a coworker approaches Marion.
Hey, Marion.
Hi, Bart.
Say, what are you doing tomorrow night? There's a fish concert.
What?
Fish concert. Great jam band at the Civic Center.
Yeah. Oh,
B-H.
I know how to spell fish.
Yeah, of course. I didn't mean to, you know,
I have an engagement.
Okay. Bummer. Didn't mean to, you know.
That's fine.
Anywho, what about...
Please don't use that expression.
What expression?
Anywho?
It's not an expression.
What is it?
A word.
Please don't use that word.
Okay. You free Wednesday?
Plus, it's not even a word. Not really.
Okay, sure. Free for dinner Wednesday? There's a new place near me, Montana's. It's very good. Yeah, the food is trendy, but it's super gourmet.
No, I have an engagement Wednesday.
Okay, huh. Wednesday, too. People don't usually call them engagements.
Do I tell you how to speak?
Yes.
The fact remains.
The engagement.
That's right.
At home, Jamie climbs up the headboard naked and leans against it. She smiles and wears a look of expectation. She shuts her eyes. She undulates her hips on Carla's face.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Jamie puts on a police hat.
My God.
She answers the phone.
Jesus, Marion, don't call me during sex. Yes, I am going tonight.
During sex?
Jamie's eyes widen.
Hi, Suki.
Wow.
At work, Marion gets a busy signal.
Who? Here?
Yes, there.
Oh, no one's here, babe. I was just masturbating.
Uh-huh.
Me time. Let me turn the video down.
A pink cat-shaped neon sign outside a club reads, Sugar and Spice. Inside, Marion wears her frumpy work clothes and holds a drink as she stands by the bar.
No.
What?
No.
No what, Carla?
You're not wearing that.
I just came from work.
I came from Toledo. I don't dress like it.
Is Jamie here?
Okay, look, keep the coat on, take the shirt off underneath.
And flaunt my breasts. I'm not here to peddle my wares.
Why else would you be here?
To socialize.
Hello, girls!
Carla nods.
All I hear lately is Y2K. Y2K! But Jamie Doss is here to say...
Y2K!
Jamie steps on stage.
New millennium, bring it on!
Marion nods and claps faintly.
Oh, yeah. It's the last body shot competition of 1999 here at Sugar and Spice. And Jamie... is last month's winner, so we are gonna salt you up.
Show us where the first lick goes, babe.
So, first lick.
Jamie licks her finger and runs it down her chest.
Here.
A short woman arrives.
God, look at that slut.
Hi, Suki.
Don't put that woman in front of a crowd with a microphone.
Well, she likes to entertain.
Second lick.
Jamie lifts her shirt and touches just below her breasts.
Here.
Suki sneers.
See when she gets this reinforcement. Do you know who she's fucking?
I don't know that she's seeing anyone. She's seeing you, of course.
Jamie unzips her pants.
Yeah.
She strokes her stomach.
She's a free spirit. I admire her.
Huh. Free.
Yeah, that's the problem. Put a meter on her pussy, we could all retire.
Stop here, Suki.
In a language. Right.
Jamie puts the lime wedge down the back of her pants. At Marion's, Jamie holds frozen peas to her eye.
I've had it with love. I know bards and troubadours are high on it, but I don't believe it's relevant to the modern 20th, soon-to-be 21st century lesbian.
Here's some carrots. Those peas are thawed.
This right here is what it gets you.
Mm-hmm.
I've hatched a plan, my friend. If you'll come help me move my shit out of Suki's tomorrow.
I'm not getting in the middle of that. I have my own problems.
What problems?
Internal.
Internal.
Yes. I don't know how else to put it. Problems with what I feel internally.
How can you have internal problems? You got your ass all bricked up.
I'm not certain, honey darling, that you have ever reached deep inside any orifice to scoop out your soul and fling it shamelessly at a fellow human being and humiliate yourself and grovel and weep and feel your ego completely disintegrate, otherwise known as the glory of love.
Please don't eat those peas.
Now, my plan is... you come help me pack, and then...
I can't. I'm leaving town.
What? I am too. That was my plan. Where are you going?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Why would anybody go to Tallahassee, Florida?
My Aunt Ellis lives there.
Can't she move?
Tallahassee is very nice. It's not glitzy and gross like Miami. It has live oak and Spanish moss. Me and Aunt Ellis go to the St. Mark's Wildlife Preserve. There's good birding.
birding.
Jamie eats peas.
How have I missed out on this?
It's very pleasant.
So you just came up with this wild hair in your ass to bird?
I've been unhappy. And I'm starting to snap at people at work, and it's not fair to them. I'm only impatient with myself.
Well, we can fix that. We'll have you running around in no time. That's why we take this trip together, honey babe. We get our shit together, together.
See, I was gonna take some time off, get a drive away, just go potluck anywhere. Now, you can come with me, and we can go to Tallahassee and bird.
What's a drive away?
Free one-way rental. You deliver the car to wherever some client of the drive away company wants it, if they got one going near your destination.
I don't know if you'll like Ann Ellis.
Are you kidding? A birder? I'll wear my great big old straw hat, and she is going to L-O-V-E love me. You know how parents and such love me? They think I got charisma. Oh, Marion, who's your loquacious friend? I just love that chatty little girl. Isn't she something?
I'm not sure.
Don't find a problem here. This is going to be F-U-N-N fun, girl. Just come help me move my stuff out of Suki's tomorrow. Don't worry. She's not even going to be there.
At home, Suki unscrews a dildo from the wall.
Suki, don't. What are you doing?
I don't want it anymore.
You said she would be here.
Suki, I'm just taking my own stuff. That was a gift. I wanted you to have it.
I don't want it. We're not going to both use it.
Suki, it's your wall dildo.
No. Take Alice, too. I never liked her. And she won't stop barking.
How can I take the dog, Suki? I don't have a home, remember? You kicked me out.
Take Alice, take the wall dildo.
It's your dildo, Suzanne.
In a drive-away office, a balding man talks on the phone.
Curly's drive-away, Pennsylvania's most trusted name in car delivery. Curly speaking.
Okay, it's going to Tallahassee.
Uh-huh. Tallahassee, Florida. Yes, I'm writing it down.
1480
Road. Right.
Tallahassee.
Sure.
Got it.
Right, got it.
Can you help us?
Gotta be there by end of day tomorrow.
By tomorrow?
No later.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Over and out.
Curly hangs up.
Can you help us? We need a drive away.
$250 deposit reference.
Reference?
Somebody local, I can break his balls if you don't show up where you're supposed to.
His balls? Can the reference be a woman?
We don't know a lot of men.
He spots the dildo.
No kidding. Where do you want to go?
Tallahassee?
Tallahassee?
What's wrong with Tallahassee? It's very nice. There's Spanish moss and live oak.
Curly here.
Don't call me Curly.
And your name Curly?
My name is Curly. We just met. It's too familiar.
Have you ever been to Tallahassee?
No, I got good sense. Your car is a Dodge Aries.
Oh. Okay. Is that a good car?
Not really.
You sell those shirts?
At Marion's.
There's also a place here in Wilmington. Fantastic dive bar. The Butter Churn. And this place, Levi's Barbecue in Charleston. Memphis-style barbecue. Really good. Everyone goes to Charlie Vergas.
Jamie, it's a straight shot to Tallahassee. Down and across.
Right here's the world's largest Dixie cup outside of Mitchell, Georgia.
Direct route, down and across. We don't need to see the world's largest Dixie cup.
We don't need to enjoy life, but as long as we're here.
The world's largest Dixie cup is not life. It's a straight shot on the interstate, down and across.
The interstate is not life.
It is, more than the world's largest Dixie cup.
You're the one that wanted to go birding.
That's nature.
What's a dive bar? That's not nature. Even a Dixie cup, you can make an argument.
He said it was a rush job. We're supposed to have the car there tomorrow.
Tomorrow can wait a day. We could even go to Miami. Bikinis and high heels.
At Curly's driveway.
Medical doctor? Or a reverend? Yeah, no, we don't have a discount for Medigod, no. No, not for medical doctors either. Make up your mind, which are you? It doesn't matter. We have no discounts. Our everyday low prices are already rock bottom. Thank you for calling, Curly's.
Two goons enter as he hangs up.
Welcome to Curly's driveway.
Well, we're here.
Okay, who are you?
The car.
The car.
The Dodge Aries.
The Dodge Aries.
What are you, a minor bird?
I'm Curly.
I understand that.
You're not the Dodge.
What do you mean, we're not the Dodge?
An overhead view shows Marion and Jamie loading luggage into the trunk of a Dodge Aries. They shut the lid, revealing writing on the outside. Love is a sleigh ride to hell.
What's the big deal?
The car isn't ours.
But it's art.
And the car is ours, not Tallahassee.
And once we get to Tallahassee, it stops being art and starts being vandalism.
Fuckity fuck's sake, Marion, it'll come off with a little soap and water.
It won't.
Won't what?
Come off with soap and water.
Well, how do you know?
I tried.
Marion, it's art.
Stop saying it's art. That doesn't end all discussion. We're going to be driving through some conservative towns. The South? The Bible Belt?
Don't I know it. Honey, I grew up where the Bible Belt meets the ass crack of the Pecos River.
Fort Worth is nowhere near the Pecos River.
That's Pecos, honey, darling. And the car art is just a part of my larger undertaking. My project.
What's your project?
Loosening you up so we can get you laid, sugar sweet. How long's it been?
Marion wears an uneasy expression.
Weeks.
She shakes her head faintly.
Months?
She looks downward.
Oh my God, Marion, don't tell me it's been years. How many years? Who was it? You've had sex since what's her name, haven't you?
Donna.
Yeah, Donna.
Jamie gapes at Marion's solemn expression.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Donna? She worked for Al Gore now?
Nader.
That's right.
She just looks like Al Gore.
At Curly's.
Wait a minute. You said people of yours would come in for it.
A bearded man glares.
Yes, I did.
You call with a drop-off in Tallahassee, and then these broads come in and say they're ready to go to Tallahassee.
You gave them the car. You don't know who they were?
I told you their names.
Their names, yes. But
this place is a dump. They drive the car instead of you. Is that bad?
Bad if they find the goods.
This place is a pigsty. Why don't you get a girl in? I like clutter.
They didn't have a cellular phone.
Daryl doesn't work for me. He asked you a question, Dick Yank. Dick Yank?
Flint.
I'm a Dick Yank?
Don't antagonize.
It's like talking to a bucket of wet cement. You wouldn't know what cement if it bit you in the ass. And you would?
So, there's no way to get in contact with them?
Not per se.
Per se?
They left a local number. Everybody's got to leave a local number. Someone whose balls I can break.
The mustache goon hits Curly in the head with a blackjack.
Now you've gone and done it.
Flint hits Curly in the back, and the bearded man catches a falling paper.
Susan Schenkelman, 2431 North Garnett.
The two goons beat Curly.
You better hope your friends deliver that car. Tomorrow.
In a motel room, Jamie tosses bags on a bed.
Well, this is great. This is so slutty. I love this. Hope they have postcards.
Jamie?
All right, let's put on our war paint, the butter churn awaits.
Jamie, I think I prefer
Nope, don't even. You come with me. I'll show you how this is done.
In the motel office, an elderly clerk with an oxygen tank watches an international TV show. Jamie and Marion approach.
Hiya. Do you know where the butter churn is? Back bar.
He ignores them.
Or do you have like a timeout Wilmington? I mean, is there one with gay lesbian listings? You wouldn't have one, but do you know if there's a newsstand or a lesbian bookstore? You know, Sapphic Wonder, something like that.
He turns to look at them, and Jamie's grin fades.
Hello?
A sign above a door reads, "The Butter Churn." Marion and Jamie get out of the car.
Confidence. You gotta show that you're comfortable with the physical. It's not like meeting somebody at a NOW convention where you're talking about dismantling the patriarchy.
Jamie, yeah, I've done this before.
It's just like this. One message. You dig the female body. Your body. You're like this.
Jamie runs her hand through her hair.
Not like this.
Let's dismantle the patriarchy.
Have done this before. I am not a school marm.
You fuck people that work for Ralph Nader.
Not only.
Only in the last 4 years.
3 years.
Jamie walks away.
And 4 months and 14 days.
A woman looks over as Marion and Jamie enter.
Okay.
Jamie ushers Marion ahead.
You feeling your body?
Very much so.
Okay.
Jamie scans the bar.
Who looks good today?
Marion spots a woman with a mullet watching them.
You all look fine.
Fine. Like, you'll do? Please, please come home with me. Baby, you seem totally okay. Are there any other mediocre ones like you at home?
I didn't say they all looked mediocre. I said they all looked fine.
Yeah, but not in the sense of super fine. In the sense of fine. Whatever.
Why are you jousting with me?
I am not jousting. I'm asking which of these women you're gonna throw up against the wall and fuck like there's no tomorrow.
Look, Jamie, I'm not a throw up against the wall and fuck the daylights out of kind of person. Stop trying to make me something I'm not.
I'm just trying to get you laid, sugar sweet. They sense it. Whether you want to fuck them or you think they're just fine.
I have to be me. It has to be done with authenticity.
You mean with authority?
I mean with authenticity.
Authenticity gets you somebody that works for Ralph Nader.
You don't know what our life was like. You know nothing about its worth.
Then why didn't the two of you move to Santa Fe and synchronize your menstrual cycles? That didn't happen. That's why you're here, in a dive bar, looking for cheap, sleazy sex.
No, I'm not. This is not me. You're right. I can't do this.
No, Marion. I'm sorry, honey girl. I'm saying you can do this. You can do this. You can be cheap. I promise, honey girl, your best self.
Jamie, I know you're well-intentioned, but this really isn't right for me. You should stay and enjoy your night on the town.
Jamie watches her go with a furrowed brow.
On the town?
She looks over her shoulder at the bar full of women. In the motel room, Marion flips a page in her book. She looks toward the door. Jamie stumbles in with a curly-haired young woman. The young woman notices Marion.
Hello.
Good evening.
The young woman glances at Jamie.
I'm Amber.
Marion.
Jamie grips Amber's shoulder.
What's your eating?
Europeans by Henry James.
Wow. Thick one.
Amber fiddles with her hair.
Hello, Marion.
Hello.
So, is this gonna be a threesome?
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay. Rats.
Amber wears an awkward expression.
Well.
Marion shuts her book. She climbs out from under the covers. Jamie and Amber step further inside. In the front office, Marion sits by a rain-streaked window and reads. The elderly clerk watches an international TV show. An overhead view shows rain pelting down on the driveway car. The view closes in on Jamie's hand-painted quote on the trunk lid. Bold red letters spell out the word love, and the word hell appears in all caps. We move inside the trunk, revealing Santos's metal briefcase within. The image dissolves into a kaleidoscope of colors. Silhouettes show undulating limbs within the psychedelic landscape. A spot of color shrinks at the center of an almond-shaped shadow. Viscous liquid drips from the fingers of an orange hand. The fingers of a blue hand curl into a fist. An overlapping image shows a match igniting. Reels of film flicker by, revealing the drive-away car moving down a highway. Inside, Marion sits in the passenger seat with her arms folded. She glances at Jamie.
How was it?
Bounty.
Marion keeps her angry gaze focused ahead.
How's your book?
Good. It's about two free spirits. Who visit a repressed family in New England?
Hello. They are all repressed in New England. That is why we are going the other way.
Although there was this one chick I screwed once from New Hampshire. She got her tongue so far in me, I swore it was going to wriggle out my asshole. No, I'm not kidding. They say that there's advanced yoga people in India, supposedly, who can do that. Black belts and cunnilingus. They can even cunniling themselves. They got pictures of it in, like, medical texts. You gotta ask the librarian. They don't keep them in the stacks. Who wrote your book?
Henry James.
Henry James.
American writer. Famous family. His brother, too.
Rick? No, I'm kidding. I know who Henry James is. White and uptight. They had us read Portrait of a Lady in school. Boy, that was a great read. Like somebody dragging day-old spaghetti across my tits.
It's a very apt simile. His prose is labyrinthine.
Yeah, put me off the whole book thing. Henry James is, in fact, the reason that I don't read.
Mm-hmm. Is that Rhodes' hands?
Uh-huh, yeah. I don't think you should have brought someone back to the room.
Jamie rolls her eyes.
I knew this was coming.
How do you think I felt?
You told me to have a night on the town.
Yeah, people say things. It's not always what they feel.
Yeah, well, I'm from Texas. We don't read minds. We operate on a handshake basis.
What does that mean?
Hiya, how you doing? How much for that Cadillac car? How'd you like to have oral sex?
Texas!
Okay.
Where are you from, girl?
Not Texas.
I know that.
Well, then why'd you ask?
Jamie shakes her head.
I don't know. I'm...
Wide-eyed, Marion looks out the windshield.
Sorry.
She slowly looks over at Jamie, who keeps her attention on the road. Marion's expression softens.
No, I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry? You're good. I'm a little...
Nah, I'm a big baby sometimes.
Uncle Gino's!
At a pizza place.
You are not going to believe this. See over there?
UNG soccer team.
Uh-huh.
I was in line next to Doreen, the captain.
Uh-huh.
They're very committed lesbians, and they're on their way to Marietta, Georgia, which is practically on our way.
Not exactly. We were supposed to deliver the car today. Should we look at the map, see how long...
Forget the map. After today's game, these girls are gonna have a basement party. And guess who's invited?
Sure you are.
Nuh-uh. Us. You see, shit happens when you eat Uncle Gino's.
A hazy, close-up image of a pizza spins. It shrinks into one of many toppings on an identical pizza. The toppings fly off and float around the pizza base with an American flag. The pepperonis transform into the Republican and Democrat symbols of a donkey and an elephant. Nighttime. Our view travels over a two-lane highway. A transparent figure of a hippie woman carrying a bucket steps into view. The viscous liquid drips off of the hand. A collection of buttons drops into place on a landline phone. At the driveway office, the bearded man answers.
Hello. They didn't. That's all right. We've got a plan B. Yes, sir.
He looks down at Curly, lying battered on the floor.
Yes, sir, I understand that, sir. You've got my word on it. Let me just... No show.
The mustached goon nods, and Flint shakes his head. In a basement, the soccer team members make out in pairs, with Jamie and Marion among them. A pair of crutches leans against a sofa where a young woman in a medical boot kisses a teammate. Our view circles through the room full of lesbians. Bottles of booze and red plastic cups sit on a table in a corner. Marion sits stiffly in a bowl chair as a curly-haired young blonde woman kisses her. On a sofa beside them, Jamie ardently makes out with another soccer player. A record sleeve for Linda Ronstadt's Hasten Down the Wind album lies on the coffee table. Seated in a throne-like rattan chair, Doreen stops kissing a fellow teammate and stands. She blows her whistle around her neck.
Rotate right.
Half the room stands and moves to the person to their right. Marion steps in front of Jamie and her eyes widen. Jamie grins. With an awkward expression, Marion glances off. Jamie's brow knits.
I'm so lonesome. Actually, we're just friends.
Marion turns to the group and everyone stares at her. Marion furrows her brow and Jamie briefly drops her gaze. With a thoughtful expression, she takes Marion's hand. Marion turns.
Come on, Marion.
Letting go of her hand, Jamie nods.
It's no big deal.
She holds out her arms, then pulls Marion down to sit on her lap. Gazing into her eyes, Jamie smirks. She strokes Marion's silky black hair and cups the back of her neck. Leaning close, Jamie kisses her passionately. With her eyes still open, Marion uncomfortably kisses her back. A close view shows someone knocking on an apartment door. Suki answers to the two goons and tries to shut the door. Flint forces it open.
Suzanne Schinkelman?
Suzanne Schinkelman.
Who the fuck are you?
Since when do women curse like that?
She sprays Flint with mace and punches him.
You know Jamie Dobbs?
She kicks him.
You know Jamie Dobbs?
You better stop.
Oh. Should have known it was about that cunt.
And Mary Pahlavi?
She chokes Flint with his own baton.
You shouldn't do that. He can't fight back. He can't hit a girl. He's old school. We just want to locate your friends. They inadvertently took something that belongs to us. We don't want to hurt them.
They're not my friends. Hurt them as much as you want.
Okay. It would be helpful if you had a picture.
She shoves Flint aside.
Picture?
Going to the mantle, she tears a picture of herself and Jamie in half, then writes on it.
Got a picture of one of them.
Alice humps Flint's backside. Suki hands the photo to the mustache coon.
You find him? Give it to her.
Okay. Will do.
The photo reads, "Love will bite your ass." In the basement, Marion pulls away from Jamie's embrace and stands. She stares down at Jamie, who wears a confused expression.
If you bring someone back, I'll take my book to the office.
Tears well in Marion's eyes.
I still have a couple of chapters left.
She hurries from the basement.
Marion!
At Curly's, the bearded man uses the phone.
We don't yet know exactly where they are, but we do know who they are. We've got a picture of one of the girls. We're all set to...
Who gives a shit who they are and what the package?
But we will find and deliver the package under control.
I am unhappy.
I understand that you're unhappy, sir.
Damn right I am.
I've got my two best men on it.
He hangs up the receiver. The two goons stand behind him.
All right. Get some coffee. You two are going to be driving all night.
Wearing a bandage on the bridge of his nose, Flint locks eyes with a mustached goon. On a residential road, Marion walks with a dazed expression. A police cruiser slowly approaches her from behind and flashes its red and blue lights. Marion turns and a bright white light comes on. She briefly holds her hand up to shield her eyes from the brightness. A bald officer gets out of the driver's seat. He hooks his thumbs in his waistband and eyes her. With a furrowed brow, she looks him up and down, and he approaches. He regards her with a quizzical expression.
Where you headed, miss?
Home.
And where's that?
Some motel. I don't know.
You don't know?
I can't remember the name. A motel on the highway.
And where are you coming from?
A house.
Whose house?
I don't know. It was a slumber party.
A little old for slumber parties, aren't you, miss?
Look, mister.
In the driveway car, Jamie makes out with a tattooed woman. Steam fogs the windows as the two women kiss. Jamie pulls out of the embrace with a troubled expression.
You know what?
Red and blue lights flash.
I'm gonna drop you off at home.
Aww.
The police cruiser passes by. An interior view shows the dark, empty motel room. Light streams in on the neatly made beds as the door opens. Standing in the doorway, Jamie looks confused. In a jail cell, Marion sleeps soundly on a cot against the wall with her yellow sweater spread out beneath her head. An overhead view circles toward her. In a dream, younger Marion jumps on a trampoline in a backyard. Something catches her attention and she looks to the side. She wears her long dark hair in two ponytails on the sides of her head. Bright blue polish adorns her toenails. A view from her bouncing perspective shows a woman sunbathing in the yard next door. Marion jumps higher, revealing the woman lying naked on a lounge chair. A portable radio sits on a small table near the pool, and a pair of red cowboy boots rest at the foot of the lounge chair. Marion's eyes widen as she bounces higher and higher. In the jail cell, present-day Marion sleeps with a peaceful expression. In the motel room, Jamie lies awake in bed and gazes at the empty bed beside her. With her arms propped up behind her head, she turns and stares at the ceiling. Fade to black. A roving view creeps through the motel parking lot toward the driveway car. As we approach the trunk lid, the view of the words written on it distort. The word love separates from the rest of the phrase and floats in a dark expanse. It dissipates into a swirling backdrop of colors, then gets rewritten in neon pink letters with a heart around them. The image transforms into a sign above a club's doors with a penis-shaped design on them. The doors open to a human skull wrapped in a 60s daisy pattern. Flanked by female silhouettes holding roses, the skull's jaw moves in a laugh. The viscous liquid splashes upward as silhouettes of people dance amidst overlapping colors. Fringe on one person's jacket flies freely, and someone flips their long hair. A silhouette shows a woman bending backward dramatically. More people dance among the swirling colors. A person in a long, gold robe wears a full face mask of Anubis. The hippie woman's silhouette shows in the red and blue beads of a beaded curtain. Her bucket reads, love, with a peace sign in place of the O. Her image alternates with the person in the Anubis mask, and the hippie woman steps through the beaded curtain.
Hey, handsome. Wanna get plaster?
Daytime. In a car with the two goons.
I'll drive when it's my turn. At the end of 3 hours. I have no sympathy for you, my friend. You could have just asked her, and you'd be fine right now. I just asked, she answered. But you cannot relate to the public, which in the service profession is a big fucking handicap. And that sound is beginning to get irritating.
Well, your lectures are getting irritating.
I don't lecture, my friend. That's my point. I take people in. I react. I read people to get what I want. You, though, you think life is this orderly series of people to beat the shit out of. Well, real life is not like that. You only see it that way because you're not nourished by human contact. The human give and take, so forth.
Uh-uh. Me want, me take. That's what you're comfortable
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
Caveman shit.
You don't engage the whole person.
Well, you did a great job helping me engage that very agile harpy.
Didn't have to. No need whatsoever for the physical approach, which you couldn't see because you don't savor the stuff of life.
Well, I'm not a sissy boy, if that's what you mean.
Kiss my ass.
A mustached goon answers his phone.
Hello?
Okay, we're on track. Marion Pahlavi was picked up for vagrancy last night in Marietta, Georgia, just north of Atlanta.
On it. Georgia.
The two goons drive toward Georgia. Now, a road sign reads, "Welcome to Florida." Jamie and Marion speed past it in the drive-away car. Marion wears an awkward look.
Thank you.
For what?
Just picking me up.
Am I not gonna pick you up? Hard not to. Ma'am, your friend here's in the Hooskow. Care to come get her? I'll come get you all day every day. I will not let a friend of mine rot in prison longer than is absolutely necessary.
And so I say thank you.
They lock eyes and Marion smirks. Jamie turns her attention to the road.
Of course, you ain't told me how you come to be in prison, and I've been careful not to ask, but damn, Marion. Landing yourself in prison is a very hopeful sign for you.
I think it was jail, not prison.
Oh, I'm sorry. You ain't told me how you come to be in jail.
It wasn't hell-raising. Sorry to disappoint. A policeman didn't like my tone.
Oh. You cop some attitude.
I don't have attitude.
Marion, if I may, there are certain things in life which you gotta sense and understand in order to live life. And one of the things that you gotta understand is, well, all these funny little creatures that you probably notice walking around on two legs, we call them human beings, you gotta understand what makes them tick. And your whole social situation, you gotta understand what that is.
Uh-huh.
You know what that means? Social situation?
I know what social situation means.
Okay, good. So the whole thing with a cop is, and you should remember this for future reference, when you're in a social situation with a cop,
Jamie shakes her head.
There ain't no social situation.
There's a keep your fucking mouth shut situation. There's a yes sir situation is what there is. Believe me, honey doll, I've been dating a cop for 2 years now, and I ain't talking through my vulva here.
Thank you. I understand. But if authority is being abused, there's an obligation
to... Holy shit. Florida.
They pass a billboard to re-elect Senator Gary Channel. It reads, Faith, Values, Family.
Lesbian, don't let the sun go down on you here.
A photo shows Gary and his family. The tire blows out. Marion braces herself as Jamie struggles to maintain control of the car. They pull over to the side of the road.
You okay? You okay?
Spare tire.
Opening the trunk, they pull out their luggage. Lifting the cover board and the carpet lining, they find the metal briefcase in place of the spare tire. With furrowed brows, they stare down at the case.
What?
Smoke wafts from beneath the briefcase.
Something burning?
Marion picks it up, revealing a leather hat box underneath. She sets the briefcase down beside their luggage. Smoke wafts from the seals of the hat box, and Marion presses her palm to the lid. She straightens.
Jamie, it's cold.
Jamie stops her from opening it.
Don't touch it. I saw this movie once where they come across this box, the people in the movie, and they open the box, and it was, like, really, really bad.
With a pensive expression, Marion reaches for the hat box. Jamie grimaces as she takes off the lid. The smoke dissipates, revealing Santos's severed head inside. Jamie and Marion gape. In a house, the soccer team sits opposite the two goons.
No, I'm kidding. It was a minor traffic accident. Fast stop. His face hit the wheel. Looking at a pretty girl, weren't you, Flint? No more looking at pretty girls for you, right?
That's right.
So, are they, like, wanted or something?
Oh, no, no. No, they're not in trouble at all. Just drove off with something we need. Didn't even know they had it. So, what were y'all doing here last night?
Just making out.
Oh, yeah? With who? No kiss and tell, huh? Anyway, we need to find those girls to get our sample case back. And when we heard Doreen here paid Marion's fine, we thought, well, you girls might know where they're headed.
How'd you know about it being Doreen's check?
We have contacts in law enforcement.
At a fast food restaurant, Jamie and Marion stare at the briefcase.
No, no. We should just call the cops.
We will, Jamie. First, we should see what's in here.
Why? I don't want to look. Why do I have to look?
Jamie, listen. Whoever sliced that head off knows who we are. This might tell us who they are, so we won't be at a disadvantage.
The police can find out, and the police can protect us.
Protect us? They're not the Secret Service, and we're not Chelsea Clinton. What do we lose by looking? Look. I just want to know what's going on.
Marion nods.
This might tell us.
I bet it's locked.
She sets her hand on the case and opens a catch with her thumb. The number dial reads 000. Jamie reluctantly opens the other catch, then takes Marion's free hand in hers. Jamie nods, and they slowly open the case. Marion's eyes widen, and Jamie smiles. They leave the restaurant with the case.
We gotta call the cops.
Why?
That was awful.
You just said not to call the cops.
In ignorance?
No, what you said was true. The cops could think you're involved. You just spent a night in jail.
For vagrancy? We wouldn't have anything to do with... that.
Okay, honey, cool your jets. Here's what we do. First, we get to Tallahassee.
The soccer players wait to the two goons.
How about next time you let me do all the talking?
Sure, guessing's what you're good at.
Well, it sure as hell ain't what you're good at.
I'm not a suck-up or a salesman.
Uh-huh. You think you would have gotten the address where they're headed? I don't think so, Mr. Sunshine. Okay, we got some hard driving to do. Bye!
At a hotel, Jamie and Marion approach the front desk.
Welcome to El Conquistador.
Yeah, hiya. Do you have a room for two right away?
Oh, we do have one available, yes. How many nights?
Well, tonight, and then we'll play it by ear. You take the rainbow card?
Sure we do. Yes, actually, that's just a Visa specialty card.
Yeah, but they give a percentage of each purchase to gay, lesbian, bi, transgender charities. You do that, right?
Well, the issuer would be the one to take
care. Do you have a super reinforced safe for sensitive materials?
We do have in-room safes for any valuables that you may have.
This place is lesbian friendly, right?
Yes. Well, sure. We're friendly to anyone who wants to stay.
Do you have ice?
Many vehicles sit parked outside a rundown shack in the woods. Flint shuts the passenger door on his car and narrows his eyes at the building.
This is it?
It said Farm Road 80. What's the matter? Afraid of the stuff of life?
Inside, people crowd before a small stage where a singer performs. Flint and the mustached goon scan the room and spot an older man sitting alone at a table. The mustache goon walks toward him, and Flint follows. The older man looks up as the mustache goon points to the floor.
Is this, Slappies?
Casual.
The two goons sit.
You seen two, non-local women come in here? That's one of them.
They show the photo of Jamie.
I was sitting here there for Jim and Kim for a couple years back. One girl come in here. It'd be to me half local. I reckon there's two coming in town recently.
Flint and the mustache goon look confused.
Now that's true. No, we're about your ass.
The older man hands the photo back to the mustache goon. In a hotel room, Jamie puts ice in the hat box and locks it in a safe.
Oh, I can send Suki.
But why would these people just be waiting there in the driveway office?
Well, clearly this was not your garden variety decapitation. This was some kind of a... Well, I don't know what it was, but they know we have their stuff.
Yeah?
Look, Marion, they can't find us. Maybe they're waiting for us to find them. That's the only place we'd know to call.
But why would we get in touch with them?
Sell it back, shake them down, which, incidentally, is not such a bad idea.
Jamie!
Look, I didn't invent extortion.
But, Jamie, why would Suzanne help us? She hates you.
Oh... She's had 2 days to cool off.
Get the fuck back in that lockup!
With Suki.
Officer Krasick said I could speak to my attorney.
Attorney? Are you a college boy?
Officer Krasick said I could speak to my lawyer.
Officer Krasick ain't running booking. I'm running booking, jackass.
He said...
You want me to walk over there and kick your number running ass back into the Delaware fucking river? Who's running booking?
You are.
Who is?
You are!
No fucking shit!
Schenck!
Yeah?
Telephone!
She answers a call.
Sergeant Schenkelman.
Hey, it's me.
Oh, what a lovely surprise.
Suki, come on now, let's be friends.
Did the two creeps find you?
What?
Two weirdos looking for you. I tried to be helpful.
But who were they?
How should I know?
Bill collectors, herpes patients, two more people you fucked over somehow.
George and Lenny.
George and Lenny?
Of Mice and Men? Have you read any books?
Books, maybe not, but, sweetie, I'm gonna help you break a big murder case.
Break a big murder case?
Another officer approaches.
Curly's drive away?
Yeah.
Whoa. We're not here.
The other officer leaves.
Ask him about the what in the attaché case? Jamie, that is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and I'm a cop.
Why would I make it up? Just go to Curly's driveway. I guarantee you someone's there.
You guarantee I'm supposed to believe you.
Fine, you know what? If no one's there, I'll take Alice.
Really? Swear?
Yes, I swear. I pussy promise. I'll take the dog. You'll never have to deal with her again.
Nighttime on a dirt road.
And you join where?
Wetumpka, Alabama. Well, outside of Wetumpka, they hadn't been there, but a very personable music lover told us of another juke joint fairly close by called Ike's.
In the driveway office, the bearded man wears a weary expression and holds the phone to his ear.
But whatever, I think the soccer team was just confused about which joint these girls were going to. So we're going to drive...
Stop saying words. One of the girls finally used a credit card.
They arrived in Tallahassee and checked into a hotel called El Conquistador.
Tallahassee?
I want you to get your asses over there and take care of it right away.
Not a juke joint.
You should arrive by early morning. I'll meet you there.
I'll level with you, Chief. Flint and me could use a little shut-eye. We have not slept since the night before last, and we... Hello? Chief?
Who's in Tallahassee?
In the hotel lobby.
Certainly. There are a number of places I can recommend locally, or right here at the hotel. We have Espadrilles for casual dining, or we have Baxter's by the Pool, which is our more elegant venue down in the lower level.
Maybe we should stay here. Replenish the ice.
At Baxter's, Jamie and Marion dine together.
This is great, but how...
Ladies, are we enjoying a beverage this evening?
Marion mimes rubbing money between her fingers, and Jamie mouths the word rainbow.
Yes. Can we get some champagne, please? Like a really, really good one?
Of course.
Won't you have to pay for the card at some point? Theoretically.
Marion wears a worried expression. She locks eyes with Jamie, who smiles. Jamie takes her hand.
So?
Marion's eyes widen.
I've been thinking about it, and finally dawned on me that you are not the kind of person that a girl brings to a roadside motel for a quickie. Now, I have heard of a more soulful sex where you have a nice dinner and conversation first, so it all comes out of someplace deeper, but I usually have stuff to do.
Here he is with Bella Pork 95.
You mean you want to sleep with me?
Marion, you have got to have a good steamy fuck. Something I decided last night while I was lying in bed before I started masturbating, and I figure if it's important to me, I should take care of it myself. Especially since with you, it's got to be with somebody who cares for you. Am I right?
Marion nods.
Can't just be a finger jiggling your clit and adios.
She shakes her head.
Thank you.
My pleasure, madame.
Yes, please. But is it a good idea for us to have sex? I mean, we're good friends, and maybe it's not supposed to be more than that. Maybe we shouldn't risk ruining it.
Look, you can always find reasons to not have sex. And if you think about them too much, guess what?
You never have sex.
Exactly. Like my high school guidance counselor. She was always saying that this or that would be inappropriate. But when I finally got her to relax, the sex was great.
Ladies, have we decided?
Jamie smirks at the waiter.
Don't rush us, buddy. First, we'll dance.
A close view shows a percussionist using wire brushes on a snare drum. Words on a bass drum read, "Baxter's by the pool." Jamie strokes Marion's hair as they slow dance.
Maybe I do overthink things.
Yeah. Gotta keep that brain loose, let that mind fly.
Other couples also slow dance by the pool.
There's this one time I was with Debbie Augenblick. You know Debbie. She's got this humongous dildo she's got mounted on a Black & Decker circular sander, and she had me going like my brains were gonna come out the top of my friggin' skull. I mean, I came like the Grand Burlington motherfucker.
Marion kisses her, and Jamie's eyes widen. They gaze at each other. A faint smile tugs at the corners of Jamie's mouth. She cups the back of Marion's head, and they kiss tenderly. Marion wraps her arms around Jamie, and their embrace becomes more passionate. In their hotel room, Marion sets down a glass of champagne, then lies back on the bed. Jamie moves Marion's hair off her neck and shoulders, fanning it out on the pillow beneath her. Smiling, Marion unties one of her spaghetti straps as Jamie undoes the other. Marion looks toward the ceiling and adjusts her position on the bed. She shuts her eyes and her smile broadens. Opening her eyes, she spots Jamie carrying her dress to the foot of the bed. Jamie drops the garment on the floor, then unbuttons her own blouse. As she watches her, Marion runs her fingers along her bare collarbone. Jamie regards her seductively and pulls her blouse from her waistband. Jamie removes her blouse, exposing her bare chest. She gazes longingly at Marion. Marion bends her knees as Jamie climbs onto the bed. Keeping her gaze locked on Marion's, Jamie slings down between her thighs. Jamie dips her head, and Marion looks toward the ceiling. She briefly shuts her eyes with a look of pleasure. Reflections from the pool outside undulate on the ceiling. Marion glances down, then shuts her eyes. Bubbles rise in the champagne glass. Marion gapes. She briefly shuts her eyes with a satisfied expression. The reflections on the ceiling ripple. Marion dozes off. Jamie rises into view over her. As she gazes down at Marion's sleeping face, a smile forms on her lips. She kisses Marion's brow. Jamie rolls onto her side and cuddles up next to Marion. She smiles sweetly, then nuzzles Marion's ear. Jamie shuts her eyes and falls asleep. Fade to black. On a two-lane highway.
One accomplishment, huh? Name me one. At least I'm in the arena dealing with people.
Those girls wound you up like a tap.
Flint, have you ever fucked a woman? On a creaky porch swing, on a warm summer evening, crickets, so forth. I mean, just fucked her like there's no tomorrow. Trousers are on your ankles, belt jangling, yelling to beat the band, slamming away like a Cincinnati jackhammer. Yes, people might stroll by and see you looking foolish up there, slapping ham on the veranda, but that is the price you pay for interaction. If this is too messy for you, then you will spend the rest of your miserable fucking life just hitting people and then pulling your measly little pud.
Can't wait to tell the chief.
Yeah? And why don't you also tell him that you're a social fucking imbecile that I've been carrying on my back all the way from Philadelphia?
Outside the driveway office, Suki shines her flashlight through the window. Lying on the floor behind the counter, Curly notices the light. The counter obscures him from Suki's view. Watching the beam of light move across the file cabinets, he tosses up a handful of documents. Not noticing them, Suki shakes her head.
Big case. That woman?
She heads back to her police cruiser.
Won't anybody save Curly?
Curly lies staring up at the ceiling. Fade to black. A book page from a Henry James novel covers our view. A title on the next page reads, The Golden Bowl. In the backseat of a limo, the chief flips the page. He uses a red ribbon to mark his spot and shuts the book.
Wake me in Tallahassee.
Yes, sir.
Placing a red silk pillow behind his head, he turns off the overhead light. The chief shuts his eyes and settles in. Fade to black. In a dream, younger Marion drills a hole in the white picket fence separating her yard from the neighbor's yard. She cranks the drill in the opposite direction and removes it from the hole. Setting the drill aside, she places one hand on the fence and peers through the hole. Reflections from her neighbor's pool undulate on the fence. The red cowboy boots sit at the foot of the lounge chair. Narrowing her eyes, Marion shifts her gaze to the pool. In slow motion, her neighbor swims through the water. Reflections from the water dance on Marion's cheek. She watches as her neighbor climbs naked out of the swimming pool. Marion smiles. The neighbor wrings water from her shoulder-length hair. A man with a pot belly steps out of the house.
Honey, we eating soon?
Okay.
His open shirt exposes his hairy torso.
Oh, all right.
Marion watches him go back inside. She turns her attention back to the naked neighbor and smiles. The brunette sits on the lounge chair and pulls on one of the red boots. Marion continues watching her with rapt attention. The dream ripples and dissolves. Present-day Marion wakes. She looks over to find Jamie wearing one brown cowboy boot and covered in a sheet as she writhes in pleasure.
Jamie? Waited for you. As long as I could.
Marion spots the open briefcase.
Jamie, no!
Marion looks in the case and finds one of five dildos missing. Jamie grips the bedsheet.
Jamie, why? Oh my God. Marion.
In the limo.
Sir? Sir?
The chief wakes.
Tallahassee, sir. Where to exactly?
Yes, the track.
Dog track? Yes, sir.
Those penises are trouble, Jamie.
Oh, come on now. I thought you were gonna loosen up.
You gonna work your way through all of them?
No. I like this one.
Marion shakes her head.
Oh, come on. Don't be mad. Last night was beautiful, but you fell asleep and I didn't get my turn on the water slide, if you know what I'm saying.
Holding a gun, Flint bursts in with a mustache goon. Jamie throws her boot at Flint.
Careful with that thing, you fucking moron!
Screw you!
We're here for two items.
Whoa, she's naked.
All right, no big deal. Just a naked lady. We're here for two items.
The mustache goon grabs the briefcase.
And the headlock. Fuck you, don't you fucking lecture me. All right, ladies, no need to panic. Hold on. Please and thank you. All friends here. Two items, don't panic. Okay, let's get the show on the road.
Now, the hippie woman undulates against swirling colors.
You're such a big, bouncy, beautiful baby. Love doesn't have to die, baby.
Whoa, this is so groovy.
Now, I can love you.
She rubs a viscous liquid on younger Gary Channel's crotch.
And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. Never to will. Never to win.
Projections on his bare chest show numbers from racing dog blankets. A dog gnashes its teeth. The viscous liquid splashes up behind the hippie woman. Dogs dart out of starting line boxes at a racetrack. In a room within the track building, the mustache goon takes hoods off of Marion and Jamie. They sit bound to stadium chairs with gags in their mouths.
Came straight here. Haven't debriefed him, Chief. Figured you want to do the talking.
Holding the open briefcase, the chief approaches the young women.
This is all they had.
What's all they had?
Ladies, you're a day late and a dick short.
What are you talking about?
The senator's penis is not in the case!
Not me.
No, it just figures.
Come on, girls. Where's the last phallus? You didn't check the case before you left.
He's been stepping on his dick the whole way down, Chief.
What have you done, jerk-off?
I got the Spanish guy's head, Einstein.
They gave me the combination, and it still took you 15 minutes. Right, left, past the first number.
In slow motion, a dog bearing a number 3 blanket sprints down the track. At the hotel, a maid pushes her cart down a long hallway. At the track, the chief sets a chair before Marion and Jamie.
The senator is a good man. He smoked marijuana once in college. Many of us did. It was a different time. He went to a party and met a hippie chick, Tiffany Plastercaster.
The maid approaches the door to Marion and Jamie's room.
Housekeeping.
Dogs run down the track.
She took out a plaster cast of his, excited.
Marion and Jamie's eyes widen.
Thing. She made one model of each of her old men.
The maid enters the hotel room.
At the time, the senator didn't know that someday he'd be called on to serve his community, his state, and perhaps someday, his nation. He was just a kid.
She pulls back the bed coverings.
His penis passed from hand to hand, finally ended up with an international collector named Alejandro Santos y Obrador. You saw him. Sort of.
Jamie and Marion share a look. A close view shows the maid's cross necklace. As she makes the bed, she furrows her brow and rummages beneath the quilt. The maid pulls out a dildo.
This penis cannot become a piece of merchandise. Think of it. eBay. Senator Gary Channel's Ding Dong. Lightly used. Comments. Reviews. Think of what it would do to him. His children. His family. His career.
The chief smiles.
We're not unreasonable. We'll gladly pay for it. We just...
Will you please shut up? That wasn't my idea!
I was just trying to keep us awake. I was experimenting. But you liked it.
No, I could tell. I didn't. It was the Irish coffee. I was drunk.
Drunk on
cock? No,
It's not my thing. I was just trying to help you be a man. To understand life.
No!
The stuff of life!
No!
Flint shoots the mustache goon.
Oh, what are you doing?
He shoots the chief. Marion and Jamie nervously watch him jog over to the chief's body. He places his revolver in the chief's hand and presses his fingers to the grip and trigger. Looking up, he notices Jamie and Marion watching him. He gets to his feet and aims the gun at them. They huddle close as he fires at them. Nothing happens, and he pulls the trigger again. He looks down at the revolver cylinder and finds it empty.
Bobby.
Jamie looks confused, and Flint bursts into tears. He staggers backward, then turns and runs toward the exit. Jamie and Marion work at the ropes, binding their wrists. They peek out a door, then walk down a corridor with the briefcase and hatbox.
All right, we have to get back to the hotel and grab the penis out of the bed. Then we switch hotels. You grab the penis, I'll meet you at the hotel.
Okay, the La Lanterna. I'll check in under the name
Abzug.
Where are you going?
Art store.
At an airport, Alice sits in a pet carrier. A label on the crate reads, Alice B. Toklas.
Next customer, please.
Schinkelman, going to Tallahassee? Don't ask me why.
In her new hotel room, Jamie makes a call.
Committee to re-elect.
I need to speak to the senator.
Well, who should I say is calling?
Someone who has his personal effects.
She sets down a bag from an art supply store. Entering the other hotel room, Marion finds the bed neatly made. She goes to the bathroom and finds the dildo sitting on the counter with a red bow on it. On a plane, Alice sits in her carrier in the luggage hold. At the hotel, Jamie unpacks the bag of art supplies and holds the phone receiver to her ear.
Who is this?
Senator?
Yes. Who is this?
Somebody who wants $1 million. If you can get it by tonight, you can have your thing back. Everybody's things. I'll tell you where to bring the money. Come alone. If you're not alone, believe me, I'll know it.
An overhead view shows Suki walking through the hotel lobby with Alice's carrier in hand. She approaches the clerk at the front desk.
Someone named Jamie Dobbs made a phone call from here last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She sets the carrier on the desk.
Well, this is for her.
Oh, I'm sorry, miss. You missed them. Her friend just checked them out.
Suki wears an exasperated look. A close view shows Marion flipping to the last page of her book. Words below the final paragraph read, "The end." She looks up from the page and shuts the book. She clutches the book to her stomach and stares off with a contemplative expression.
Done.
Jamie steps out of the bathroom.
With what? Tell you later. I'm gonna clean up. Wanna join me?
At the dog track, the chief's body lies a distance away from the mustached goon's corpse. In their hotel room bathroom, Jamie and Marion kiss as they shower together. A low view shows Marion's toenails painted bright blue. Marion pulls out of the embrace. She gazes into Jamie's eyes.
Jamie?
Jamie nods.
I want... I want...
What do you want, Sugar Sweet?
I want to make love with the senator's penis.
A broad smile grows on Jamie's lips. She reaches out of the glass door on the shower and gropes along the counter with one hand. She grabs the dildo and unsuctions it. Marion backs up against the shower door and presses her palms to it. Facing her, Jamie flattens her palm to the door lower down. Supplies for making a plaster mold sit on the counter. Nighttime. A statue stands before a fountain. Words inscribed on the base read, Ponce de Leon, the discoverer of Florida. Pink and blue lights undulate on the figure. A sign outside a club across the street reads, The She Shed. Inside, a roving view moves past booths and stools filled with women. Clutching a brown briefcase to his chest, Gary leans out of a booth. He wears a flat cap pulled down low and a jacket with the collar popped up as he watches the door. Frowning, he sits back in his seat and checks his watch. He startles as Jamie and Marion step in front of him. They hold the briefcase and hat box.
Who are you?
Marion scowls.
Democrats.
Mind if we sit down?
Jamie and Marion sit. Jamie sets the metal briefcase on the table between them.
Are they all there?
Jamie turns the case to face him and opens the lid.
Count them.
Gary pulls the case closer to himself. He glowers at the two young women, then looks down at the dildos. With a somber expression, he removes his hat and fights back tears.
We didn't deserve this. This commodification. These are all good people. Important people, too, some of them. There's the head of one of the bigger Fortune 500 companies. The owner of a large market football team. Supreme Court Justice.
He lifts his gaze to Jamie and Marion and shuts the case.
You little people titillate yourselves with something that was never meant for you. Trafficking in other people's attainments.
Senator, save the sanctimony.
And hand over to the million smackers.
I used to believe in the unfettered free market.
He sets the brown briefcase on the table and slides it toward them. With a frown, he shakes his head.
I don't know.
He stands and grabs the metal case. Marion puts the hat box on the table.
Whose head, Senator?
Don't get lofty with me, women.
He takes the hat box as well and leaves.
Did we do the wrong thing? What if he's the next president?
Jamie's eyes widen.
You girls are cute. My friends Amir having a little basement party later. You want to join?
Marion lifts her brow and locks eyes with Jamie. The long-haired woman regards them expectantly. Jamie puts her arm around Marion.
Not tonight.
Outside, Suki bumps past Jamie.
Suki? There you are. So what was that crackhead phone call about?
What do you mean? How'd you know I'd be here?
How many dyke bars are there in Tallahassee?
What, are you an executive now? Did they make you the president of Little Miss Lyrepants, Inc.?
From an alley across the street, Gary spies on them. Jamie holds the brown briefcase in hand. Gary crosses the street and pulls a balaclava down over his face.
We've
thought they didn't know where we were, but somehow they did. And this morning, they put us in the back of a Toyota Tercel and took us to the dog track, and I'm sure they were going to kill us. But lucky for us, they'd left the most important penis behind.
Wow. You've had a full day.
He pulls a gun from his waistband.
She's yours now.
Suki spots him approaching.
Hang on. This doesn't look good.
She sets down Alice's carrier and reaches inside as Gary aims. He falls back and the hat box goes flying. Suki stands holding a smoking gun with a luggage tag on it. Jamie, Marion, and other patrons watch the hat box fall.
Motherfucker!
It lands and the head rolls out. Alice chases after it as it tumbles toward the statue of Ponce de Leon. Suki narrows her eyes.
What's she chasing?
Yeah. We forgot to tell you about the suave guy's head in the hat box.
A newspaper headline reads, Senator shot outside lesbian bar. Channel was carrying human head, plaster penises.
Boy, I think I could win against him. And now we get to just keep on going. Who's gonna complain if we keep the car? Things could not have worked out better.
Well, I guess.
What's wrong?
I am fully aware that the senator is a terrible person, but you have to admit, I'll miss his...
No worries, girl. I made a cast. And two copies.
Dildos sit in the art supply bag.
Great. But why two?
For each other.
Ladies, we have visitors here.
Can we get our car? You know, hers and hers.
Jamie and Marion step out of the hotel, and Marion waves.
Aunt Ellis!
A black woman turns.
Oh, hello, darling.
She's your aunt?
Uh-huh.
Uncle John met her in church. Watch what you say. She's very religious.
So good to see you.
Marion hugs her aunt.
This is my friend Jamie.
Well, how are you, young lady? This your first time in Tallahassee?
Yes, ma'am. And what a beautiful city. Not like Miami.
No, not like Miami. You able to stay with us long?
No, unfortunately.
Right after Burton, we're off to Massachusetts. We just decided last night.
Jamie?
Well, what do they have in Massachusetts that we don't have right here in North Florida?
Women can get married there.
Sitting between them in the driveway car, Ellis wears a blank look.
To each other?
Marion wears a wide-eyed expression. Jamie smiles.
That's an innovation.
Looking relieved, Marion starts the car and they drive off. The writing on the trunk lid now reads, Love is a sleigh ride, so here goes. The bellhop holds up the art supply store bag.
Ladies!
He watches the car continue to drive away and lowers the bag. Opening it, he peeks inside. The bellhop's eyes widen. He shuts the bag, glances around, then looks at us. To black. A title appears in graffiti and taped up letters on a brick wall covered in posters. Driveaway Dolls. The car drives past and blows away the O and two L's in Dolls. An expanded view shows more words above, creating a new title, Henry James's Driveaway Dykes. Credits appear over a two-lane highway. Directed by Ethan Cohen. Written by Ethan Cohen and Trisha Cook. Produced by Robert Graff, Ethan Cohen, Trisha Cook. Produced by Tim Bevan, Eric Fellner. Director of Photography, Ari Wegner, ACS, ASC. Production Designer, Yong Ok Lee. Edited by Trisha Cook. Costume Designer, Peggy Schnitzer. Supervising Sound Editor, Skip Levsay. Music by Carter Burwell. Co-producer, Catherine Farrell. Visual Effects Supervisor, Michael Huber. Casting by Ellen Chenoweth, Rachel Tenner. Margaret Quayle, Geraldine Viswanathan, Beanie Feldstein, Coleman Domingo, Pedro Pascal, Bill Camp, Joey Slotnick, CJ Wilson, Annie Gonzalez, Sam Bartholomeos, Braxton McCollum, Connie Jackson, John Menchian, Josh Flitter, and Matt Damon. Credits roll. Unit Production Managers, Karen Ruth Getchell, Robert Graff. First Assistant Director, Liz Tan. Second Assistant Director, Susan Ransom Coyle. Co-producers, Karen Ruth Getchell, Liz Tan. Set Decorator, Nancy High. Script Supervisor, Tom Johnston. Production sound mixer, Peter F. Kurland, CAS. Associate editor, Emily Denker. Color supervisor, Peter Doyle. Music supervisor, Chris Robertson. Cast, Margaret Qualley as Jamie. Geraldine Viswanathan as Marion. Beanie Feldstein as Suki. Joey Slotnick, CJ Wilson as the Goons. Coleman Domingo as the Chief. Pedro Pascal as Penis Collector. Bill Camp as Curly. Matt Damon as Senator Gary Channel. Connie Jackson as Aunt Ellis. Annie Gonzalez as Carla. Gordon McDonald as Cicero's waiter. Sam Bartholomeos as Bart. John Menchian as Old Man at Slappy's. Michael Cunahan as Turkish Motel Man. Abby Hilden as Soccer Captain. Haley Holmes, Fatima Barlow, Sam Massey as Soccer Girls. Jordan Zatoski as Young Senator Channel. Samsara Yet as Young Marion. Savannah Ziegler as Sunbathing Woman. Michael Warden as Sunbather's Husband. Braxton McCollum as El Conquistador Desk Clerk. Daniel Kirkman as Baxter's Waiter. Lane Lazor as Amber. Phil McFall as Cop. Angelo Maldonado Jr. as Lockup Thug. Christina Contreras as Hotel Maid. Michael Edelstein as Chauffeur. Michaela Minner as Sugar and Spice DJ. Billy Huff, Alex Halpern as Alley Thugs. Angela Boehm as Motorcycle Lesbian. Josh Flitter as Bellboy. Songs, Linda Ronstadt, Blue Bayou. Written by Rory Orbison, Joe Melson. Performed by Linda Ronstadt. Long, Long Time, written by Gary White. Performed by Linda Ronstadt. The Senator's Past, Maggot Brain. Written by George Clinton Jr., Edward Hazel. Performed by Funkadelic. Patty's Dream, written by Ken Walker. Performed by Kennel Moose. Diana Krall plays Baxter's by the Pool. You Belong to Me, written by Pee-wee King. Chilton Price, Red Stewart. Performed by Diana Krall. Fly Me to the Moon, In Other Words, written by Bart Howard. Performed by Diana Krall. Clubs, Car Radios, and Slappies, Dance, written by Renee Scroggins. Performed by ESG. Ode to Bedroom Dancing, written by Kathleen Hanna, Johanna Fateman, Sadie Benning. Performed by Le Tigre. Peanut Butter, written by Hiddle Brown Barnum, Martin Cooper, Clifford Goldsmith, Fred Smith. Performed by The Liverbirds. Fire, written by Arthur Brown, Vincent Crane, Mike Feinsilver, Peter Kerr. Performed by Lizzie Mercier-Declue. Never Nowhere, written by Tamala Polyak. Performed by Longstocking. I Love You, written and performed by AC Payton. End credits. Crying My Eyes Out, Lying Beside You, written by Shannon Shaw, Dan Auerbach, Richard Swift. Performed by Shannon Shaw. Got My Mojo Working, written by Preston Foster. Performed by Joyce Harris and the Daylighters. Copyright 2023, Focus Features LLC, all rights reserved. Focus Features LLC is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Dedicated to Cynthia Plaster Caster, 1947 to 2022. We remember. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Focus Features. Read by Emily Hooks. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Working title. Focus Features, a Comcast company.